reply is that they have an assurance from Mrs. Candy that she will not attack West Pakistan. That the and that they will work out with, they are working with her now to work out a ceasefire. God damn it, we made it and we didn't deserve it.
Maybe we made it, except that as I was over talking to this crew, you realize the danger of this. We must not be in a position where the Russians and we settle this on a bridge.
Exactly. This is why we have to go on the other route too. I'll just call Voronzov back and it's too late. As I told you last night, we're going back to the Security Council. So far, we have no formal assurance of anything if they want to say.
That's right.
What
this interim reply?
The interim reply is, you are, Mr. President, I was just talking to Haig, you know, on the, your perception of this is, well, we'll write a verdict story about it. No. What you did this morning, Mr. President, was a heroic act. Yes, but I know no other man in the country, no other man who would have done this, what you did. And you did it not knowing any.
You know, if you put it out to state, I can just see what would have happened. I don't mean Bill, I mean the whole group.
Oh, including Bill. Including Bill.
No, I don't, what I mean is, I'm not, it's the whole attitude, the whole government. The whole American establishment would say, well, don't borrow trouble, maybe it's all going to work out. Nothing ever works out unless you do something about it. That's the trouble with the world. And that is what caused World War I. We know that that was just a clumsy bunch of bastards. But World War II, Henry, was a direct result. A direct result. And we can talk all we want to about Hitler doing in the Jews and all that, sure, it caused that. But it was a direct result of the Allies acting that used the land was lead way, right?
No question.
That's what caused
Mr. President.
And that's why the biggest mistake we made, as I was thinking last night, the DC-121, the biggest errors, frankly, that was a hell of an error on Korea, for us to think we wouldn't go across the gallows, but MacArthur was right. The right is hell. And now here we are at this point. I don't know where to go.
Now, Mr. President, the next question is my, now that we've played it this far, this is, I mean, we've broken the back of it.
Well, I'm pretty sure. Why have we broken the back?
Because we have
radically.
They don't know that.
Hey,
oh, yes.
Why does he have broken the back?
Well, because, Mr. President, when we showed them, when I showed Voronzov the Kennedy Treaty, they knew they were looking down the gun barrel.
Did he react?
Oh.
He did make no
choice.
Oh, yeah.
You
did?
Oh, yeah. Now that...
And you still told him at that time that that's what the President was talking about when he talked to the editor.
But now the problem is, Mr. President, we have to go through the big problem as you... First of all, we have to turn this screw another half turn. Because if we let off the pressure too much and show any relief, we've had it. Therefore, my strong recommendation is we trigger this UN thing as quickly as we possibly can, because it's the only way we can go on record now of condemning India.
Okay.
Second.
Second, the White House statement still goes.
That's what I meant. The White House statement triggers it. It's right. Essential now that it's a White House statement, because we've now got a place to the Russian
statement. You don't have it prepared yet.
I've got it here. It's
a...
What I would like to do, if there was, I could say now, these are the orders We can't pull it out now, but...
He can say this, the president has been in the office today, about this morning, he gave him this, can't you just say this? Or do you want to say?
I want to say.
You say the president dictated this thing, is that gentleman?
We cannot afford to flick.
We cannot, and this is the way, and Tom, that I have worked out every word, every comment is mine, and that there's frankly no appeal in this. Now, I'm not gonna have a call, I want to...
I'm just trying to tell you, this is gonna be released at 11:30.
Point two, yes,
hotline. Thank you for the interim message. It arrived after the decisions had been made and they were irreversible. We are still prepared to proceed with you on the basis of my letter of so-and-so.
Right.
And we will stay in close communication.
Right.
That doesn't kick them in the teeth.
Now, though, the Russians have said, now this is true, they have said that they are prepared to what? To go, that this is not, they have insurance that she will run
into the house. Well, they just can't be happy to do it. I haven't got the exact text here because my idiot girl who took it down froze when she heard it all. But they're sending it over. The Prime Minister Gandhi has assured Minister Kuznetsov who will send as a result of the President's appeal. She's planning no military action against West Pakistan. In addition, within the spirit of the President's thing, we are trying to work out a comprehensive proposal, including ceasefire, get complete guarantees for the integrity of West Pakistan and repatriation of Pakistan.
That's in there.
Yeah. Well, and Rolico is coming back. Oh, we got them. But the picture of them now is, Mr. President, not to give the, it's to, if we play this well, we'll come out ahead with both the Chinese and the Russians. We are doing this, Mr. President, with no card whatsoever.
Why? We have one card.
The Russians
want something from us, and we didn't like her. You know, it's not the part of that. But even my good old Mario, who is panting to go out and give the goddamn trade away, Mario can't give the trade away, was an important thing to do.
Mr. President, your behavior in the last 2 weeks has been heroic in this. No, you were shooting. Your whole goddamn political future for next year. You were doing it against your bureaucracy, against your, against the Congress, against public opinion, all along, like everything else, without flicking. And I must say, I may yell and scream, but this hour this morning is worth 4 years here.
Mr.
President,
I go to the home last night. I don't know whether the United States has a viable foreign policy today.
No.
I sure used to
know. The United States has not a viable foreign policy. It luckily has a viable president. If you were here, Nelson, much as I love him, would never have been able to do this, and he's the only one who could even have conceived it.
Well, Agnew would have done it.
Agnew, Mr. President, would have done it so stupidly.
Connolly would have done it. There's one.
Yeah. Connolly is the only man, but he
lacked... Oh, he might have been a little cynical.
He lacked your subtlety. Connolly, if you watch Connolly, I said the other day to Holden, when after all, Connolly was an undistinguished governor. Why is he a great Secretary of the Treasury? Because of you. No one ever thought of Connolly as an outstanding man until you were...
No, I thought he was a good governor.
I beg your pardon?
They thought he was a good governor.
A good governor, but not a great one.
No, governor, she's very good.
Well, but I've watched Connolly at these meetings, and I don't say there's a derogation of him because he is the one I like. He waits and sees. His first instinct is often wrong, like when he said cut off aid to both Pakistan and India. Then when I, and even more you, quarreled with it, then he went the other way.
Now, You really are encouraging the Russians.
I think we've got it now. The thing is to play it in such a way that the Chinese, and we may have, now what may happen, Mr. President, this is the complication, the Chinese may come anyway. And we'll have to face the Russians down anyway.
Yeah, but the Russians, the Chinese come now, they'll come planning to get this shot. The Russians want to settle with the last time. If this means anything, if this means something now, there's one great problem. I said, I may be wrong, but communists generally use negotiations for the purpose of screwing, not for the purpose of settling. Now, it may be that the Russians, there's no, maybe for the purpose of, just like what they screwed us on Vietnam, for 3 years.
They're too scared.
Trying to put us off here for no reason.
They're too scared. They're too scared.
Scared about that.
The President, Rogers can say what he wants. No one believes him. When I showed him the Kennedy letter, he knew you meant business. And they don't, in 73-4 they may have you, they're not yet ready. Now the big problem is, we have to tell the Chinese what the message is. We mustn't fool them.
The Russian message?
Yep.
That the Russians are, that as a result of the President's ultimatum, I put it that way, the Russians have now...
I showed them the message to tell you the truth.
Yeah. This message.
Yeah. Or at least read the summary of it.
Okay.
So that
we're going forward anyway.
And we're going forward, and let's ask, see what they want. If they ask to show that if they are threatened, we will consider it.
The Chinese know what my letter, what my conversation, or what my letter to Brezhnev was.
I let them decide.
They didn't go along with it. They said they were staying on that position.
Well, not to me, they said it to Putin. But we've got to get this machinery triggered.
Did you say this to Bujo? Did you even tell him about this?
No.
He's a leader, son of a bitch. He's not there. Tell the Chinese that you hate what's all necessary.
Yeah.
And now, you still get the hot wire off the restaurant.
Yeah.
But the tone will be more, no more conservative. Right?
No,
say,
we're just changing it a little thing since your message arrived too late. We were already in the machinery.
The President had already the Ambassador Bush to take this to the Security Council had already directed. However, the offer is still open, because that was in the statement. We are well ahead, but time is the essence.
Okay. But I think we're in business now.
And we come back by 5:11 and give me the final report, and then I've got to leave and I'm out of pocket.